What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Tailgate Sports Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tanner Johnson, and with me is Ricky Scott. What's up, Ricky?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right, Ricky. So today, what are we doing?
We're going to give you a week-by-week preview, and we're going to recap the Denver and Saints snooze fest that we got to enjoy the other night.
So this is the one game that I don't typically watch just because I'm always bored to death of these Thursday night games. There's nothing ever entertaining about them. But I saw the final score and was intrigued and kind of looked into a couple of things with it. But I'll let you do the full recap for that.
I'll just give you a brief recap on it because, you know, it was definitely fell into that category of boring Thursday night games. And I was, you know, got a score of the Broncos 33, the Saints 10. We had Bo Nix throw for 16 of 26, 164 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. It was Denver's rushing game that ultimately got it done, and their defense. Spencer Rattler looked horrific, and my hot take definitely froze over real quick. Spencer went, he went 25 for 35 for 172 yards. He also had a fumble, and you know, that Denver offense was on his ass all night.
Oh, man. I don't blame Spencer Rattler for that at all. I mean, he's out his two top receivers, and his offensive line is a bunch of backups in the middle. Outside of Talise Fuanga, their first-round pick, and it's just backups across the board. So he was just set up to fail.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. It doesn't help when he's inactive for the first, what, four games of the season?
Yeah, and I even saw that Derek Carr was practicing this week, and so he didn't even get all the first-team reps.
I'm pretty sure he saw the inactive list, and he was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah.
So if you want to do the honors and move on to the Patriots-Jaguars London game that we're going to enjoy watching.
Well, fuck yeah. This is like my jam. This is like straight shit, like sicko shit right here.
Well, aren't you waking up early to watch the game?
Fuck yeah, I am. 6:30 a.m.
Let's go.
1-5 versus 1-5. Hey, like, I'm a draft guy. This is like my shit right here. This is what I live for. So, Patriots wise, just looking at the Patriots, I had Drake May as my number one quarterback in the draft last year. I understand why you take Caleb Williams number one, because you can't be the GM that doesn't take him. And then he works out. Like, he had the highest ceiling by far, but he also had one of the lower floors. And I trusted in Drake May's ability to process the field better than Caleb Williams. But, you know, Drake May ends up with the Patriots with by far the worst situation of any of the rookie quarterbacks, by far.
Yes.
We're like bottom five offensive line, worst receiving group in the league by far, per PFF, per everyone. Like, just absolutely awful. His wide receiver group so far this season has a collective grade, including like Demario Douglas is pretty good. And Jalen Polk has had good games, and Hunter Henry's playing really well, even though he's old and can't run at all. Has a collective grade of 58.3. And so basically it's his wide receiver group is actively hindering the team towards winning. And he's just set up to fail. I didn't understand why they put him in to start. I think it was a dumb decision, but I think he definitely elevated his whole team last week. And he had two turnover-worthy plays, one big-time throw. He went 20 for 33 for 243 yards, three touchdowns, and two interceptions. He did fumble the ball twice. He got strip-sacked twice. He led his team in rushing as well because Ramondre Stevenson didn't play, but it looks like he's practicing this week and could be a go for Sunday. But I wouldn't count on that. I think it's going to be mostly a passing attack with Drake May. And honestly, this is the perfect team. This is the game that he should have started to start his professional career because the Jaguars are just hot shit.
I definitely like the youth and the, you know, what he brings to what moxie, pizzazz that he brings to the team. But you're 100% correct. I think Jacoby Brissett was just tired of getting beat down every week. You know, you just get tired of it. At some point, you just got to be like, yeah, I know I'm your veteran. I know I'm supposed to be bringing that veteran presence, but, you know, I need my body to be healthy too.
Absolutely. I that's probably what happened. And, you know, he never seemed like rattled by the pressure and everything, which I was pretty shocked by. But I mean, what do you think of the Jaguars here?
Man, if they can, on paper, that team is great. I think they're a great team.
What? But what do you think's great about them?
Look at the people they have. They have like one of the best slot guys in Christian Kirk. I know he's not doing much this season, but I like Christian Kirk. I like Gabe Davis. Okay. He can stretch the field. You got what? You got Thomas and Gabe Davis that can both stretch the field. You got Christian Kirk in the slot, and then you got one of the best tight ends in the league in Evans. So, like, what's bad about that team on paper besides what they've been putting up?
What's bad on their team is their offensive line and their entire defense.
Yeah.
Their offensive line, like, is actively bad. And the worst part about it is that they re-signed all of their mediocre interior offensive linemen. Like, Mitch Morris was on the Bills last year. I thought it was an okay signing, and then I kind of did a more deep dive into his career. Literally, the longer he is in a place, the worse the offensive line is around him. He just doesn't understand protections and coverages. He can't read defenses. And so it's pretty much up to Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence is looking like fucking Ryan Fitzpatrick back there. Like Jameis Winston, like just slinging it everywhere because he doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
You can't disrespect Fitzmagic like that.
I guess that's true. But I agree with you. Brian Thomas Jr. definitely is a lot better than I thought he would be.
So besides...
go ahead.
What season did they have? They were killing it, and then Christian Kirk went down with his ankle. Was that last year?
Christian Kirk was hurt last year.
But he was having a season last year, and they were playing some good ball. And then, you know, injuries always stack up.
Yeah, through the first half of the year, they only had one loss. They were like 7-1. But then they've lost, I think it's 16 of their last 17 games.
Yeah, it's looking like bad.
They only won one more game after the halfway point of last year. And that was against the Titans. So
that's why my defense is, they look great on paper. But when it comes to playing, they're playing ass.
Yeah, like... I understand. They signed a lot of older guys. I liked their pass rush. Josh Hines Allen and Trayvon Walker's actually playing fantastic this year. Like he looks great. So,
but this is your sicko game of the week. And
yeah, this is my sicko game. All right. Jacksonville is currently a 6-point favorite. It opened at 5.5, and Jacksonville's been getting bet the over. What way are you picking this one?
I'm gonna go with the Pats for sure. I think Drake May is gonna shine.
Fucking drink the Kool-Aid.
These wide receivers are gonna show up, and they're gonna pull it out.
Yeah, I think if Javon Baker can play and just get more practice time with Drake May, I think that'll end up working out for him.
I also think that running game with Gibson, you know, he's been kind of giving him a spark in the running game as well.
Yeah, he played pretty well last week.
Like he's like on that. He's like a little dunk and go master. I don't know. They drop the ball off to him and he just goes. He definitely brings a change of pace. So hopefully him and Stevenson can hit the backfield and bring home that W.
Yep. Are you taking the Patriots to cover the 6-point spread or to outright win the game?
I'm just going to go with the money line with the Pats.
All right.
Keep it safe.
Okay, next we have the Seattle Seahawks and the Atlanta Falcons. What's your take on this?
This is where Captain Kirk is going to come and just completely shit on the Seahawks. I'm sorry. That's my take.
It's hard to not think that the Falcons are going to take this. Just the Seahawks defense looked super good through the first few weeks of the season. And then has just slowly gotten worse as the better competition they've been playing. And so it's just, I don't know. I think it's like what you said. Captain Kirk's going to take it.
I mean, 509 yards in that Thursday night game. This guy, you would never have thought that he ruptured his Achilles the year before.
Oh, yeah. And it's definitely, you can see that him and Zach Robinson, is his OC, are definitely starting to mesh now more into the game. Plus, they have, I mean, probably the best backfield in the league, arguably, with Bijan and Tyler Algier.
Both putting up over 200 yards last week. It's insane. Like, that takes a lot of pressure off Kirk. So, if he needs to get it done, he can get it done. If he needs his backfield to get it done, he gets it done as well. Like, that's a quarterback's game.
I agree. And I think the Seahawks defense is, they're susceptible to the run. Their linebacker play has been pretty bad this season, and they're relying on their defensive line, which, to be fair, has been injured the past couple of weeks. And so you expect that to be better. As I believe Byron Murphy, their rookie, is supposed to be playing this week, and that should alleviate some of the woes that they've been seeing. But, I mean, it's their offensive line. Geno just hasn't had a prayer with his offensive line. They're currently sixth worst in the league. Outside of their left tackle, Charles Cross. Okay, so here's the thing with Charles Cross. Super athletic, awesome pass protector. But he was really struggling as like a run blocker, just kind of his build and everything like that. And he was drafted with Ikem Ekwonu and Evan Neal, both taken before him that year. I think it was 2021 draft. Currently, Charles Cross is the second highest grading run blocking tackle in the league. He is ahead of Penei Sewell and Trent Williams.
Man.
Currently. And like, you just never thought this would be a part of his game. And he's outperforming both. Like, Trent Williams is a Hall of Famer, and Penei Sewell is arguably the best right tackle in the league.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think is the Falcons' key to winning this game?
It's definitely going to be their pass rush for sure. And that offense. The offense is hot right now. If those, I don't think the corners can match up. They got speed. I just don't even see it as a close matchup, to be honest.
Yeah, the Falcons are favored by 3. It hasn't moved since it opened up. I think that's easy. I think I'm going to take the Falcons. The Seahawks put up points. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, definitely. But I'm going to take the Falcons on that one.
Definitely Falcons to cover, for sure.
All right. Now we got to talk about the sadness that is my fandom. The Tennessee Titans are against the Buffalo Bills this week. And
we do have a hot take on there. Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph is starting for the Titans as their bullshit shoulder injury day-to-day for Will Levis. That was bullshit. He played last week and his arm looked fine. It's probably because they were embarrassed. Like, they very well should have won that game. And I just went, I watching the game, turned to my wife and said, 3-2-1, interception. Colts intercepted it, drove down, scored, won the game. It was just like, of all 55 quarterbacks to even throw one pass this season, Will Levis has the third worst passing grade per PFF, only ahead of Bryce Young. Fourth worst, only ahead of Bryce Young, who will probably never play in the NFL again, Mac Jones with only 11 pass attempts, and Mitchell Trubisky with only 3.
Don't forget, Mitchell Trubisky does back up Josh Allen.
Yeah, and he only played 3 plays.
That's all he needs against the Titans.
Yeah. In all fairness, the Titans defense, I think, is legit. I think Denard Wilson's doing a fantastic job. I mean, he was interviewed right after he was hired. He was interviewed by Kyle Long. And they're like, oh, what did he say? He said, I want dogs on my defense. And it was an acronym for him. And it was Determined Assholes with Grit. And like that, he just, their whole attempt to the offseason with the defense was just adding guys that he determined to be dogs, like trading for L'Jarius Sneed, signing Tadobia Awuzie, who actually isn't playing at all for the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Loved their rookie corner, though. You see that? Jarvis Brownlee Jr.?
Yep.
He had, like, 2 pass breakups in the game. He was fantastic. But
a quick question from my side. For a fan like you, you know, love your Titans, does it kill you watching that defense having to, you know it's not going to be your year?
I die a little inside.
Yeah. Like, you know, the clock moves every day for us. You know, our youth.
It's like a split mind. Like, half my brain dies a little. Like, my soul dies. But the other half is like, because I'm a draft guy, I'm like, all right, cool. Closer to the number one pick. All right. I'm fine with that. But then you just see how hard the defense is playing, and you're just...
Gassed. They don't leave the field.
It just hurts, like, to watch. Because their offensive line is actually playing a lot better than it did last year. J.C. Latham, who I had reservations on, is actually playing really well. I think that's a Bill Callahan improvement. But, yeah, it's... I don't know. It's hard to watch sometimes, but, you know... I'll tune in, watch it every week. So,
same thing.
But Bills just fucking traded for Amari Cooper.
But he will not be playing.
Yes, he won't be playing this week. I would assume it'd be 2 weeks before we see Amari Cooper, maybe three. But did you see what they traded for him? They traded a 2025 third round pick and a 2026 seventh round. Got Amari Cooper and a fifth round pick. And the Bills, he's getting paid virtually nothing this year. Like, he's almost a zero cap hit for the Bills because the Browns converted his whole base salary to a signing bonus in order to be able to trade him.
Like, how does that work out in your favor? So, like, out of any trade that we've witnessed this past 2 weeks, the Bills definitely won that trade.
I got some funny stats for you. Okay.
Let's hear it.
So the Bills traded a third and a fifth for Amari. They got a second round pick for Stephon Diggs. So Amari, about every 3 years, starts to burn out his welcome with the Raiders. Like, you know that. Gets traded to the Cowboys, gets a contract after about 3 years. He burns out his welcome there. They trade him to the Browns. And the Cowboys only got a fifth round pick for him.
Jesus.
In that trade. And then he, you know, first couple of years with the Browns, he was looking fantastic. A lot of people won their fantasy leagues because of Amari Cooper.
Yes, he was balling.
And then he burns out his welcome there. He's complaining, one. And I don't blame him for, like, wanting out of the Browns and the Cowboys, frankly. But he burns out his welcome after about every 3 years. We'll see. Kind of what this is, what it's going to be like. I definitely think Bills, hands down, are going to take this game.
Yeah, it would be very easy. But do you think that MO fits with Amari Cooper, that they say he gives up on plays? Like, you can just tell, like, oh, okay, cool, you know. Like you said, he wears out his welcome. Do you think that's part of that as well? Where he's just, okay, cool, you know, I'm not going to run this route like I normally should. I'm going to take it off, you know, take plays off. Because that was a big complaint when he was with the Raiders. So
yeah, I wouldn't quite put that label on him, specifically this time around. I can't say with the Raiders. I never really watched him with the Raiders. I definitely saw him with the Cowboys, and that's not what he did with the Cowboys. He did get a throw a hissy fit when they drafted CeeDee Lamb, but, you know, that's every wide receiver is a diva. But I think this time with the Browns, it was just wanting out of there, just hating the offense and everything.
On that season of Hard Knocks, when they drafted CD, it looked like he kind of mentored him a little bit, helped him with his footwork and, you know, coming off the line, and I think he kind of helped him out a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely too. If he burns out in Buffalo in the next couple of years, I will probably lean what you said. And that he just takes plays off. He stops putting in the work. But it's hard to say during his time with the Browns. I mean, he had Deshaun Watson throwing him the ball. So
my question for you is, if Mason has a decent day, you know, no turnovers, plays a clean game, the Bills are ranked 22nd in rush defense, and your running backs, you know, have a good game, do you guys think you stand a chance against the Bills?
No.
Still?
No, period. N-O, period.
Hey, we've seen, like, crazier things on Sunday.
The Titans haven't scored more than 17 points all year. And the Bills are going to score more than 17 points. That's really what it is. Like, could the Titans cover the 9.5-point spread? I think that's definitely possible. But, it, like you said, it relies on that run game and controlling the clock, their defense being able to, like, pressure Josh Allen and force him into these situations, but the Titans don't have a great pass rush. And so I don't know. I think I'm going to take the Titans to cover that spread. That's too big. They're not going to win.
But they're going to cover.
But they're going to cover. That's a 9.5-point spread. Like, that's huge. Speaking of the Browns, it's Bengals-Browns.
Bengals and Browns. These games are, you know, you look at it, the Bengals are playing out of this world. That game against the Ravens was, if you're an offense guy, you like to see fireworks in games, that was the game to watch. But
yeah,
these division rivalry games, they always swing, like, either way. That's the thing that gets me with these games.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals in the Joe Burrow era are historically good against their division. Like, they're the bane of the Ravens' existence when Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are healthy.
Yeah, I agree.
And this is the best offensive line Joe Burrow has ever had. He got Orlando Brown Jr. on the left side. They're starting Amarius Mims on the right side, their first-round rookie. And he's been playing a lot better. But there's a funny clip of him just getting, like, fucking suplexed. Dumpstered on a fucking run play where he goes, he's massive, like, he's tall, he just didn't get low enough, and the edge rusher's like 100 pounds lighter than him, gets the leverage and just flips him over his shoulder. Fireman carries.
Wow.
It was awesome. But he is playing well, like, definitely better than Trent Brown was playing. But I feel like this is the Bengals every year. They just, September is their preseason, and then they have the best offense in the league.
I agree. What, Joe Burrow's ranked the third highest graded quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, he's playing lights out, and if he keeps playing like this and they make the playoff, he might win his first MVP.
I hope so, because he owes me one from last year.
The sudden snap of that, no one has ever heard of a quarterback having an injury like that. They're going to be interesting to watch. Their defense can't stop a bloody nose.
So they got, what, Ja'Marr Chase, the greatest, you know, run after catch wide receiver. And then you got T. Higgins. He catches everything. He's getting hit, still catches the ball.
Yeah.
Getting destroyed in the middle, still catching the ball.
Absolutely. I love T. Higgins. Not surprised they didn't trade him. But we'll see towards the trade deadline. I think they're going to keep him through the year and then just let him walk.
Sure, the Bengals were like, what's the easiest piece to get rid of this offseason on our offense? Tyler Boyd, you're gone. Bye.
I know, because the Titans signed Tyler Boyd.
And not using him for his skill set at all. That's the crazy thing about it.
What do you mean? They're putting him as the big slot. That's all they're doing with him. That's his whole skill set. He's just old. He's beat to shit right now.
Old wash rag. Bad
for him. Like, he was old when T. Higgins got drafted.
Yeah, I agree.
And then T. Higgins became their one, and then Ja'Marr Chase is drafted. And so he's bumped immediately down to their three, and he's still, like, getting, like, 80 yards a game with the Bengals until, you know, he comes to the Titans and gets, like, three catches for 5 yards.
Sometimes I hate that old word because, you know, we got Robert Woods in the next game that we're talking about. He's another older wide receiver, but that guy does work.
He does. I don't know if we're going to be seeing too much of him on offense. He's their punt returner. He's their backup punt returner.
He's shifty still. He's still shifty.
He definitely is. I'll give you that.
And don't forget.
Let's jump over.
Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. Super Bowl champion IR.
Hey, I'll take it. Ring's a ring, man.
Did you see the roast of Tom Brady?
Yes.
Randy Moss talking shit, saying, what the fuck? Where's my ring? Drew Bledsoe in the hospital dying got a ring. And I don't have a ring. That's the Robert Woods.
Yes. But he did play half the season, so, and that's when they signed.
He did.
Or they claimed Odell Beckham Jr. off waivers.
Yeah. Cleveland side, I mean, their O-line is the worst in the league, and they traded Amari. So I think this is the signal that the Browns are like, we fucked up with this Deshaun Watson trade.
You don't think Jerry Jeudy and Moore are going to step up?
No.
I love it. I love your optimism.
I'm pessimistic.
I think the people can understand that real quick.
Yeah. No. Browns are bad. They're a bad franchise, bad owners. Good GM. I respect the GM. Respect the love Kevin Stefanski, but you know, bad team. Outside of their defense. Their defense is stupid good.
What do you got for your pick on this game?
All right. The Bengals are favored by 5.5. Ooh. It opened at 6.5 and has gone down to 5. The Bengals are going to cover that.
Oh, easy.
Easy. They're going to just... It's just the Browns secondary has been struggling this year. Myles Garrett is playing on 2 hurt feet. Like, he needs surgery on both of his feet, and he's still playing on.
Just another guy with a high motor that doesn't know how to let his body rest.
Yeah, I mean, without him, their whole defense is
has
issues. I mean, no one's consistent but him.
Is it time for the Browns to sell the team?
They're not going to. They own too many flying J's, man.
Well, not actually sell the team, but start getting rid of some key pieces on that they can just start rebuilding.
Yeah, this early in the season, it feels like it. So right now, if the draft were to take place right now, the Browns would be picking 2nd overall. Okay, and that's only behind Travis Hunter, that's only behind the Patriots, and the Patriots have, like, the easiest schedule. Like, they win every tiebreaker possible. The Browns lose almost every tiebreaker because their whole division is good. Like, and so they're just going to keep getting bumped down the board, which, you know, their offensive line's hot shit now.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think they're going to be, they might end up cutting Deshaun or telling him he's sitting or something. And did you see Nick Chubb's playing this game?
He is playing this game.
I don't know what he's going to look like. So the Browns, I will give them one thing. It's an organization. They do one thing exceptionally well. They do a players' tribune where players will tell their stories, essentially. And Nick Chubb talked about, because this is the 2nd time he's had that same, like, catastrophic injury to his knee.
Yeah.
Once when he was at Georgia, and then last year. And he said, the first time, I didn't really think about it. Like, I was just, okay, I'm going to rehab, keep playing football, whatever. This past year, he, like, actively had thoughts where he was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play football anymore. And he's rehabbed to this point, and obviously he's going to be playing this week, and so we'll see what happens. I'm rooting for the guy.
Oh, yeah.
When he's healthy, I think he's the best pure runner of the football in the league. Like, better than Derrick Henry, better than Christian McCaffrey. He's awesome.
You let him hit the open field, yeah, he's gone. He carries guys, you know. He's a great running back for sure.
All right, moving to the Houston Texans at the Green Bay Packers. What do you think is going to go on?
Man, that pass rush for the Texans, it's freaking crazy. And then C.J. Stroud definitely having an MVP season. But what do you think they're going to look like with the injuries they have on their wide receiver core?
Nico Collins being on IR, I think they're going to lean more on Stephon Diggs, and he's going to relish in it. I mean, I think it's definitely this is a good matchup because you're going to see Jair shadow Stephon, and Stephon has struggled against Jair before. And so we'll see. I think it might be a big Tank Dell game, and they're going to lean on Joe Mixon now that he's healthy.
What about, who's their tight end, Schultz, right?
Yeah.
He kind of fell into the shallows. Yeah, you think he's going to step up and some plays like he usually used to?
They're going to need him to. I mean, they're going to rely on their defense and their run game, and hopefully CJ can just make a couple good plays and just keep it growing.
They also got rid of Cam Akers. They traded him back to the Vikings.
Yeah, that doesn't really matter now that they have Joe Mixon back. Plus, Agumbawale.
Yes.
Like, playing fucking lights out while Joe Mixon's out. I thought he was great. So, I mean, it's really just C.J. Stroud versus Jordan Love. And Jordan Love's playing great now. They have the number one rushing offense in the league. I mean, Josh Jacobs is awesome. And I know you've had a lot of experience watching Josh Jacobs.
Man, yeah. If he can... You've seen what he can do when he plays 17 games. He wins the rushing title. He's explosive. But if his body doesn't hold up, he's just another one of these mediocre running backs to me, to be honest.
Yeah. So I think this is the Texans win. I think the Packers are currently favored by 3. To me, this is a Texans win. I think the pass rush with Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter is really good. They're susceptible to the run, yes. But the Packers defense also hasn't been playing that great this year. So we'll see. But I definitely think the Texans are going to cover for sure cover, if not outright win.
Do you think it's going to be a little bit closer than what people think?
I think it's going to come down to that 3 points.
I agree.
I think Texans defense is really good. Hopefully D'Amico Ryans, you know, comes up with something special for Jordan Love. All right.
Quick question before we move on. Josh Jacobs, yes. Joe Mixon, who has a better game?
Joe Mixon, because I don't trust the Packers defense as much as I do the Texans.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was going to say.
So, yeah, I think that's it. All right, on to the next one. Miami Dolphins at Indianapolis Colts, and Anthony Richardson is playing this week.
Is this another toilet bowl game that we have?
This is a toilet bowl game. If the Colts don't win this, this is a game that is not making my viewing time.
I don't know. You seem to watch some very interesting games there.
Yes, I watch shitty sicko games like 1-5 Patriots, 1-5 Jags. I don't watch bullshit 2-3, 3-3, where it has no meaning to me.
So you're saying it's going to be the Colts are going to fillet the Dolphins tomorrow.
I don't know about fillet. The Colts defense is bad, but I think it's, you know, 24-17. You know, Dolphins are just bad this year. They showed an inability to evolve beyond Tua. And even then, their offense looked pretty bad with Tua in it so far. So it's just,
but damn,
it's a Colts easy win.
Tyreek Hill, just throw the damn ball as far as you can. He'll go get it.
Yeah, that didn't work out against the Titans.
Yeah, I agree.
Fucking airmailed the ball like 7 times. I mean, the Colts are favored by 3. I think the Colts cover that pretty easily.
Let's go with the Colts.
Let's try and speed up a little bit.
Ooh.
Not this next game. This next game's the shit. This is like...
Is this your game of the week?
This is my other shit. This is my game of the week. Lions-Vikings?
Game of the week.
It's fucking fantastic. It's not a personnel focus this week. It's a coaching focus. Like, my matchup that I am watching is Ben Johnson versus Brian Flores. Ben Johnson is the best defensive coordinator in the league. And to me, it's not even close. Like, just he mentally destroys everyone from C.J. Stroud and Brock Purdy to old vets like Aaron Rodgers with subpar talent. Like, his secondary is mediocre, but his entire defense, everyone but the nose tackle, they line up 6 people on the line of scrimmage, and you don't know if the defensive linemen are rushing you or if the fucking safety is going to come screaming up the middle and rush you as part of his 4 guys rushing the passer. And you see his edges drop out into the coverage constantly. It's fucking awesome to watch. If you are a defensive, like, nerd, just watching Brian Flores tape is awesome.
Yes, I agree. That's how the Patriots used to get all those wins. It wasn't always Tom.
Yeah. But Ben Johnson on the other side, you saw last week. Last week was a personal, like, vendetta against the Cowboys because they lost the Cowboys off of a dumbass penalty where one of their offensive linemen apparently didn't report as eligible to be a receiver on the play, and they got a big man 2-point conversion. And so they called it back.
I could have swore they had video evidence of him actually reporting.
Oh, yeah. He walked up to the official, and a different referee threw a flag. And they just let it go. And so this last week, they had Penei Sewell get a hook and ladder from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Big old friggin' Penei Sewell running down the sideline with only a corner to beat for the end zone. Like, corner shaking in his boots, dives at his legs. Sewell full extension hits the pylon, and they call it back because, you know, lineman didn't report as eligible.
You know they don't like these big guys scoring.
They had their 6th offensive lineman, their swing tackle, Dan Skipper, line up as their wide X receiver on a different play. Jeez. They had their left tackle, like, peel out on a screen for a 2-point conversion. Like, just the dumbest shit. And that's what I think is going to happen. Like, Ben Johnson's going to get super fucking creative. And Brian Flores was interviewed this last week. The interview was just from a beat reporter in Minnesota saying, Ben Johnson is historically, like, awesome with his creative defenses, his creative offenses. How are you going to try and combat it this week? And he looks, like, right at the camera, takes a deep breath, and goes, I'm going to fight fire with fire. And if that doesn't put the fear of God in you, I don't know what will. I don't know. Minnesota's favored by 1.5. I think the Lions end up taking this. That's where I'm leaning. The Lions are just an objectively better team. Obviously, losing Aiden Hutchinson for the season is, you know, that's really it.
Do you think, oh, man, I know we went over the Browns game. You know, they have the crazy talks about Raiders, the Lions giving up the house for Max Crosby. But the Raiders have also put out that he's untouchable. Could you see the Browns parting ways with Myles Garrett? They need draft capital.
They do. And they need their team to get cheap is the other problem. If they're planning on... So it just boils down to if they're planning on cutting Deshaun Watson and sucking the $160 million cap hit over 2 years. Like, if they're planning on doing that, then they will... If not this year, next year they will trade Myles Garrett. But I don't... That's hard. I don't have an answer for you right now. I need to think on that.
I think that, like you said, that Aiden Hutchinson loss is a big blow to the team. And as we've seen before, Jared Goff struggles against, you know, Patriots coordinators. That Patriots Super Bowl, he looked very inferior. And I just think... I know we have it, Jared Goff versus Brian Flores, but I think Brian Flores is going to get the best of him. All they need to do is have, you know, Sam Darnold play a clean game, and I think it's an easy win for the Vikings.
Yeah, honestly, I could see it going exactly like what you said. So this one is the hardest one for me to pick.
Oh yeah,
obviously, like the odds makers are staring right there. Like that is super hard to pick.
Like you always pick that. Okay, cool. Like, I see the game going this way, and it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, like you can clearly see both sides of this.
Oh yeah, I agree. This game is tough for me.
Yep. All right, Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. Ooh. Saquon Barkley
revenge. Vengeance.
He came on record and said, "Oh, I don't think I'm gonna be booed.
Oh, he's getting back. Booed.
Oh, he's getting booed. Absolutely. You have not met Giants fans if you think you're not getting booed."
Was he never in New York ever?
Him saying shit like that definitely makes you think that.
So some of the most savage fans in the world.
Yeah, so I think he's in trouble. Well, actually, this is going to be a fascinating game. This is a trenches game. Giants defensive line, Eagles offensive line, both top five units in the league. And Dexter Lawrence.
Sexy Dexy.
Have you watched much of Dexter Lawrence?
Yeah, he's playing. I think he's playing great.
He is probably 1 year away from winning Defensive Player of the Year. Like, because those awards are all narrative based. And Dexter Lawrence is a fucking nose tackle. Oh. And he's putting up Aaron Donald, Chris Jones numbers as sitting right in the one gap, right over the center and the guard. And he's just having insane year.
He's averaging a sack a game?
I believe so. So he started out, his first three games were unbelievable. And the last three, he has taken a step back. But you've seen Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns step forward in those three games. So it may kind of be a scheme thing that Dexter Lawrence is pulling back. But I think he's going to get back up to where he was.
So quick question. Do you think the Giants' familiarity with Saquon, you think it plays in their favor? Not at all?
I don't know. The Eagles' offense is just a puzzling mess.
Like, oh, yeah. They struggle.
Jalen Hurts is getting actively worse every year. They need to run the ball first and then do play action deep shots. I mean, you got the best boxing out wide receiver in the league in A.J. Brown and a route running god and Devontae Adams.
So the thing that
Devontae Smith, sorry,
getting ahead of myself a little bit, that Caleb Williams was criticized for before being drafted was extending plays, trying to do too much. Do you think Jalen Hurts hurts his team as well by doing that?
No, I think he doesn't.
I've seen. You remember that fumble in the Super Bowl, right?
Field. Yeah,
I've seen that this year twice.
Yeah, he when the Eagles played the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, he was the best player in that Super Bowl.
Yes, I agree.
And
but
I
still,
don't.
Silly
I think,
mistakes.
I think since Shane Steichen left, it's just showed that he doesn't read the field as well as everyone thought he did.
And he also lost his crutch in Kelsey.
Yeah, and like there's multiple clips of Jason Kelsey waving off Jalen Hurts' protection change so that he can call the proper protection.
I believe he was calling the protections for him all season, every season.
This is going to be interesting. The other side is you got Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
It was the reception number sixth pick in the draft. So he's missed two games this year. He's top five in receiving yards, receptions, and touchdowns. Missing two games.
Coming off a concussion, yes.
He should be playing this week. He has a target share of 33.5% through the first four games.
Jesus.
That is one of the highest in the past 25 years. The only person that comes close, I believe, is Corey Holt off the top of my head. I mean, it's stupid. Like one of the games, he had a 60% target share, which means that 60% of the routes he ran, he was getting the ball thrown at.
Yeah, he's eating receptions this season, and so he's making plays.
The Eagles are favored by 3. I think this is safe to say that the Eagles will cover that for me. I think the Giants have definitely played a lot better this year, and Brian Daboll is definitely showing that the team's a lot better than it was last year. And I really hope that the Giants keep Brian Daboll. I think he's a fantastic coach.
I think it comes down to, for me, to Saquon keeping his composure in a hostile environment because, you know, it was his old home.
Yeah.
And whoever commits the least mistakes. We saw that Browns-Eagles game last week. It was a shit show.
That was awful. That was awful TV.
But we have this game is... It's tough for me, but I'm going to pick the Eagles cover as well.
All right. Jumping to your Vegas Raiders versus the Los Angeles Rams.
Talk about a real toilet bowl.
Devontae Adams' mysterious hamstring injury is magically better, healed through magical ayahuasca sciences. Whatever the fuck Aaron Rodgers is smoking.
I heard that as soon as he boarded that plane, that hamstring just healed up over the flight, you know?
Yeah.
Instantly healed.
Yeah, and so this one, I agree with you, is kind of a bad game. Yeah, Brock Bowers is by far your best offensive weapon for your Raiders.
You hit it on the head with the hammer. He's our whole offense.
And then you're going against a Rams defensive line that's playing really fucking good. I mean, it's all first and second year players. You got Kobe Turner, who I think should have won Defensive Rookie of the Year last year. Braden Fisk, who's starting to come on. Jared Verse, who is currently the favorite to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. And Byron Young on the other side as a perfect complement to Jared Verse.
And don't forget, the Raiders are infamous to lose at SoFi. They haven't won a game at SoFi.
Really?
No, they have not.
Yeah, this one's not a great matchup. No. Rams are 1-4. They're definitely playing better than that. I think, I'm sorry to say it, but the Rams are favored by 7.
Shall we say they cover?
See, but you got Max Crosby.
But he also has a
that offensive line.
High ankle sprain. The motor's going, but the wheels, he has a flat tire.
I think the Rams win, but the Raiders are going to cover that 7-point spread. 7 points is too much for me. It's just too much for me.
I'll just be safe and go with the Rams money line, you know. take the coward's way out.
The coward. You fucking coward.
Like, I'm too scared. I'm just going to go with the money line.
All right. You know who's scared? Bryce Young.
Oh,
got Panthers Commanders next.
I am kind of, baffled by saying that he will never play in the NFL again.
Honestly, he even when he went in relief, you still see the same issues that he has. Like, their offensive line is good this year. And Deontay Johnson separates and is legit. Like, their receivers are a lot better. Their scheme is a lot better. Their offensive line is a lot better. He actively lost games for the Panthers. And then Andy Dalton comes in and makes him look like shit.
One game, though. And look who it was against, the Raiders. Andy Dalton hasn't looked decent.
He looked good last week. What are you talking about?
No.
Against the Falcons? It's not his fault that his defense couldn't stop a nosebleed.
I mean, kind of is. Just put up a shit ton of points.
Yeah. They put up points, but, I mean, they can't. Derek Brown being out for the year, that destroys your whole defense. Which, also, side point, is J.C. Horn a trade target for the Panthers?
Oh, yes, he definitely is. I agree.
Does he end up going to the Commanders?
You're putting it out there already.
Yeah, that's my trade to watch.
I honestly see the Rams. I think they go hard after him as well. You know, they love to throw picks away. Like, when's the last time they had a first round? I think this year was the first year they had a first round pick.
Since they took Jared Goff.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the Panthers are definitely going to be sellers. They're going to keep building through the draft. They're going to take a quarterback this year, honestly. But their offense is good. Their situation is good for a quarterback to land in. Like, I'm 100% in belief. It's kind of like the Bears with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels with the Commanders. Like, those situations are good. They're not Patriots bad. Jaden Daniels, offensive rookie of the year? Question mark?
I say through these first games, yes. First six games, yes.
MVP through these first six games.
Oh, really? I think you're getting ahead of yourself.
He's playing with arguably the worst team. And they're playing against good teams. Like, they're not playing bad teams. And they played really tough against Baltimore. And his defense just couldn't, again, was awful. And I think he's on his way definitely for offensive rookie. He'd have to get hurt at this point to not win it. But he's going to beat C.J. Stroud's offensive records.
Oh, yeah. He definitely has one of the best long balls in the game right now.
Like, he's the fifth overall quarterback in the league behind, guess what? Derek Carr is the number one quarterback, according to PFF. But he's behind Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Brock Purdy.
I think the fans would, you know, beg to differ on that PFF. You know, being a little nice to Derek over there.
They are being a little nice to Derek. But I honestly, Jaden Daniels, the Commanders are going to walk over this win. It's a 9.5-point spread.
I agree. But that MVP thing is a stretch, my friend. Let's go over their first six games.
We'll see. Well, he's a rookie. He's not going to win MVP, but, you know.
They lost two. His game wasn't really that great that game. They played the Giants. I'll give him the Bengals game. I will give him the Bengals game.
Straight dueled Joe Burrow to a victory with a worse supporting cast.
But he's beat the Cardinals and the Browns after that. You can't give me MVP after that. Come on, my friend.
All right. Chiefs 49ers, what you got on this?
Oh, my goodness.
Is this your game of the week?
No. You know what my game of the week is. It's going to be...
Lions-Vikings?
No. I don't want to jump ahead, but this is not my game of the week.
What the fuck's your game of the week? We got three games after this.
It's our next game. That's my game of the week.
Jets Steelers?
Just because you know who I want to see lose now because we lost that bet. I'm being petty. I'm a ex-girlfriend, okay, who's petty as hell. But
all right.
I don't know. This game is a Super Bowl rematch.
Chiefs Niners.
49ers are going to get their get back. But I don't see it even being close.
I don't. Like, Patrick Mahomes is undefeated against the 49ers.
Yes. Easy. Easy game, Sean.
Steve Spagnuolo rolls over the 49ers Kyle Shanahan's offense. And, like, I did see Ricky Pearsall is making his first play.
Yes.
Because Juwan Jennings isn't playing this week. But honestly,
great route runner. Pearsall
isn't that good.
He's a great route runner. Come on, man. This guy took a bullet. And he's
yes, he did take a bullet. He did take a literal bullet.
that's in the draft, dog of him.
They could have taken Ladd McConkey, fit their scheme perfect. Oh, awesome, yeah, blocker. Sure. Blocks his ass off. Excellent route runner. Explosive. Ladd McConkey was the perfect 49ers pick, and they chose fucking Pearsall.
Because Pearsall fits the 49ers. Like,
so does Ladd McConkey, and Ladd McConkey's better.
Yeah, but when I see the fans I see Ricky Pearsall with those guys. Okay, he already got shot. He hasn't even played a game yet.
Are you just being a little racist because Ladd McConkey's white?
No. He's a badass. He did his thing at Florida. he has great.
Okay.
I think he has great footwork. He can run some routes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was his thing. He's a slot guy.
I think the 49ers whole thing was, let's sign this guy because everything was up in the air with Ayuk. Worst case scenario, we plug and play this guy in Ayuk. Still have Debo.
I think the
gadget guy. No one saw McCaffrey going down like he did.
Yeah, Jordan Mason's been a revelation.
Oh yeah,
he is day to day. He did play. He has practiced all week as a non-contact participant so far, and so I'm looking for him to make the start. And then if they need to, they will sub in Isaac Garrando.
I think the 49ers have always had great backup running backs. Like, always.
Yeah. Raheem Mostert, yeah. Jeff Wilson. And then they moved on and had Elijah Mitchell. And then they took their shot and got Christian McCaffrey. And he's been healthy up until now.
Those guys are all speedy guys. I can just assume they hit the hole, they're gone.
Yeah.
The only thing that... Bad thing about their game now is they got miles on them.
Yeah.
Mostert can't stay
healthy. Jordan Mason was a revelation for that run game.
For sure.
You know who else is a revelation?
Who?
Brock Purdy and Fred Warner.
I agree. Brock Purdy is definitely... He solidified himself as a legit quarterback in this league.
Oh, yeah. I think he's fine now.
He's also showed defense that he is human as well by extending plays.
He has. Last week, he had an average time to throw of 3.75 seconds. Okay. To put that in perspective, the league average is sub 2.8 seconds.
Yes.
They asked Tom Brady on the broadcast, what would you do to, you know, what was your longest time to throw? 2.5 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, he was holding onto the ball that long, and that usually correlates with the team doing worse. The longer hold on to the ball, bigger chance you have of screwing it up, getting sacked, incomplete, just stuff like that. And they just cooked last week.
Just don't see that happening this week, my friend. Chiefs win easy.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I love the Niners, but, I mean, the Chiefs just don't lose to the Niners. This isn't going to be the game the Chiefs lose.
I know your matchup is Fred Warner versus Travis Kelce, but I think Kelce makes him look like a fool.
Maybe. You know, Kareem Hunt and Juju. I think the Chiefs, everyone thinks the Chiefs are definitely in the wide receiver market before the trade deadline with Rasheed being out for the year. I agree. I think they're going to need someone else. But this isn't the week that they need someone else.
Nope.
I think they're fine this week.
Honestly, they I know everyone, like you said, they state that they're in the market for wide receiver. But we've seen them get it done with worse weapons.
Yeah. So I think Chiefs cover. It's 1.5 point by the 49ers. I mean, Chiefs outright win. I think that's safe to say.
Easy peasy. Let's move on. Jets Steelers Sunday Night Football.
Explain to me why this is your fucking game of the week.
This is my game of the week because let's go. Aaron Rodgers, he's pulling LeBron. He's the GM of the game. He's getting all his buddies over there. You know, got Davante Adams now. Everyone's like, oh, this is the second coming. They're going to win the Super Bowl. He got who he wants. Got Garrett Wilson. Got all these pieces. But I always tell myself, Aaron Rodgers had such great teams in Green Bay. He had Davante Adams when he was younger, and they never produced with it. You know, they were a playoff team every year. Yes,
he needs a defense. Like, his Super Bowl win was with the league's best defense that year.
But do you think that the Jets have the league's best defense?
No, I think they're sizably worse this year. But I don't think that was a Robert Saleh fault. I think that was just a vibes in the building fault.
They needed an escape goal, and Robert Saleh was that guy.
Yeah, I think their offense definitely looked so much better with Todd Downing as their new play caller. They were using motion on almost every play. Like, he stood up to Aaron Rodgers, unlike Nathaniel Hackett.
So my thing is, Rodgers gets everything he wants. Adams is playing. Russell Wilson's starting this game. When you think about Russell Wilson with the Broncos, what do you think of? Terrible play, right?
Yeah, I think he's old. I think he's done.
But this could be a win-win for Russell.
I don't understand why the Steelers are even playing Russell. Like, yes, Justin Fields hasn't played as good the past 2 weeks. But what does Russell Wilson do for this is the same thing as the Titans. What does Russell Wilson do for you if he's good? Are you going to sign him to a super fat contract?
But
he's 36 years old.
He brings the actual passing aspect to the Steelers instead of just a dual rushing game. You got Najee and then you got Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Justin Fields can throw the ball, but he's not that accurate.
Yeah, I think Justin Fields just looks actively better than he did in Chicago. And there's been plays this year when his offensive line doesn't even get off the ball and they're beat already. And he ends up making a play out of it, converting a first down. And so Justin Fields, if you play him through the full year, he could potentially be your quarterback of the future. If not, like, I don't know what to tell you. Russell Wilson doesn't do anything for them. Yes, he's a better passer. I agree with you. But he doesn't do anything for your offense. Their offensive line is bad. And Russell isn't what he was.
I don't know. I just see this as a game as, you know, the Steelers saying, you know, we're playing the Jets Sunday night. Russell comes in and balls out. We win the game.
Yeah.
Cool. It's a win for us.
Steelers win.
Okay. We got another scenario. Russell comes in, stinks up the place. They already know what they have in Justin Fields. They put him back as a backup. It's still a win-win for these guys. The Steelers can afford, in that division right now, they can afford to drop a game. Maybe they're saying it as this game, we can afford to drop. But we can, if Russell comes in and balls out, and we win, it's a win-win for us.
You're not going to win the Super Bowl with Russ.
Oh, of course not.
And so, like, are you just stroking Mike Tomlin's ego just to never have a losing season?
Yes.
Like, that's pointless. You're stuck in purgatory as a team.
I don't see them winning a Super Bowl with any of these quarterbacks they have.
I agree with you there, but, you know, this defense is stupid good.
We're not drafting Ben Roethlisberger's, you know, Phillip Rivers anymore, Eli's, Drew Brees. Like, these quarterbacks they're insane, but you're not getting that kind of productivity anymore.
You're not getting that mental aspect of the game anymore.
Yes, I agree.
That you had with all those guys.
How many gunslingers do we have left in the league?
Everyone. Everyone's a gunslinger. No one's a processor.
I don't know. There's no more Brett Favre. The last one we have closest to that, I'll give you Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is a processor, man. Gunslingers? That's Josh Allen. Josh Allen's a gunslinger. Oh, yeah.
My bad. Except Josh Allen is a gunslinger.
He melts down for one game every year. One or two games and just looks like the worst quarterback in the league. And then just the rest of the year, he's an MVP.
But never wins it.
Yeah. Anyway, Chiefs, Niners, what you got? Chiefs?
I got Chiefs, yes.
Oh, sorry. Jets, Steelers. Sorry. We're on Sunday Night Football. I'm losing track here. You got Steelers covering the 1.5?
Like I told you before, I am a petty ex-girlfriend. I am still upset about this Devontae trade. I think he should have went to the Bills. Or I think the Raiders should have pulled a dickhead move and be like, you know, you want to not hold up your end of the deal in the contract. We're going to send you to the Panthers for pennies. But they sent him. They sent him to where he wanted. They were honorable. They sent him to where he wanted to go, which was the Jets. I'm upset about it. I'm going with the Steelers.
Yeah, they just have the weirdest fucking terms for that trade.
Yeah, it's very strange.
But I'm going Jets. I mean, Devontae Adams immediately gives them a boost. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team at all. Like, I think they got to figure shit out in order to get to that point. But they're definitely a playoff team.
Oh yeah, I agree. But Rodgers has, what, 2 years at max left in his body?
They don't care. That's why they traded for Devontae. They want a Super Bowl in the next 2 years.
I don't see it happening.
Joe Douglas is like, fuck it. It's not my mess to clean up if it doesn't work out. I'm fired.
They're not pulling a Tom Brady with the Bucks. They're not pulling a Matt Stafford with the Rams.
No, I agree with that. I think it's going to be over for Aaron Rodgers.
I don't see. All right. Before we move on, I just don't see the Jets going into Arrowhead and winning.
No, I agree with you there. It's hard to see anyone going into Arrowhead and winning.
The sad part about it is I see, you know, this is Wonderland right here. I see the Chiefs going into MetLife and dick slapping the Jets.
Yeah. Yep. I think Chiefs defense is too good. Jets, I don't know. I understood why they did it, but Woody Johnson, he's on record as saying, like, logic is overrated. Make decisions with emotion.
Oh, yeah. They definitely made decisions with emotion.
All right. Monday Night Football. Yeah, a doubleheader. Ravens at Buccaneers. What you got?
Just going to make this very easy on you. Lamar and King Henry are going to shine with that rush attack. Zay Flowers has another big game, and the Ravens kill it.
Yeah. This is interesting because, like, Zion McCollum was actively bad last year and is now grading out as the best corner in the league and is producing that way. Like, he's really good every game. Jamail Dean is hurt. I saw Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi are going to be playing, is the last that I saw. So those two playing, Kalijah Kansi is an active negative in run defense, but Vita Vea is a one-man rush defense. So, like, you got that working for you. Again, the Ravens might be my Super Bowl pick.
I'll agree with you. They are playing with urgency. They are playing like a man on a mission.
Like, they've reshuffled their whole offensive line, and now it's awesome.
You saw how they started out the season.
Yeah, and they finally reshuffled it. They got rid of John Simpson and Morgan Moses for nothing, and Kevin Zeitler walked in free agency. So you're replacing 3/5 of your offensive line, and they have. It's good.
I love what you just said with their Super Bowl pick, and like I said, they're playing with urgency. I just think they're playing on fire right now. King Henry is hard to stop. He's amazing after, you know, contact. Lamar's his passing game is looking beautiful this year.
Could he be on his way to his third MVP as well?
It's possible. If anybody's going to, if let's say, like you said, Jaden Daniels keeps his numbers up, they're comparing the two, and Lamar Jackson still continues his game. Lamar Jackson beats him out. He edges him out.
The voting. See, that's the problem, is Ravens will go far in the playoff. Commanders, if the Commanders win their division, I think Jaden Daniels wins it.
Yeah, but they win their division in a weak division. Like, it's always a toss-up in that division.
Yeah, but rookie quarterback Terry McLaurin and Luke McCaffrey as your wide receivers.
They'll never talk about a McCaffrey. They're dogs.
Like, Jaden Daniels, I think, would win it. But back to the Ravens. Lamar's playing lights out. I am saddened every week watching Derrick Henry play. And he is probably grateful every week that he did not sign with the Cowboys.
Oh, I agree.
And so
he knew what he
Baltimore's had. Baltimore's favored by 3.5. And I agree with you. Like, he knew. He could see something was going on. The writing was on the wall.
Yeah, he said, the flock are my people. He belonged in Maryland.
Yeah, I think Baltimore ends up covering this 3.5. I think it's going to be close. It could end up being just a 3-point difference, but I think Baltimore covers this.
No, easy. I just don't think the Bucs have, you know, Baker's playing lights out. I just don't see them competing with the Ravens right now.
Yeah, totally agree. Last game of the week. Los Angeles Chargers at the Arizona Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Jim Harbaugh going to smoke the Cardinals.
You think so?
Cardinals defense is bad.
But they're freaking sneaky. They're sneaky. They win these sneaky games.
But, okay, Marvin Harrison is in concussion protocol still.
He's activated for his game.
They activated him?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
He's going to play.
I think the Chargers are going to make it just super ugly. And honestly, it's okay. I'm going to retract they're going to smoke the Cardinals. But I think Cardinals are 2-5, all said and done, at the end of the week. Chargers win 4-2.
So I got a question for you. Who on the Chargers secondary can cover Marvin Harrison Jr.? Not Asante Samuel, can tell you that much. What's his name?
That's Asante his name, Samuel right? Jr.
Yeah. Because, Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon announced that Marvin Harrison Jr. has cleared concussion protocol. He's playing. He's active.
I think their offense is too erratic, and their defense is just bad.
But I hate the Chargers' wide receiver room, and their plug-and-play, their running backs, they're mediocre at best.
I like Kamani Vidal.
They got the Ravens trash. Gus Edwards and
Gus Edwards is on IR, isn't he?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I do not like any of the running backs. Everyone was super surprised with, you know, J.K. Dobbins, his comeback, you know. Like, I loved it, you know, the headlines were great. But they're bringing him back down to earth, like, you know.
Yeah, he has come back down to earth, but I think Kamani Vidal has definitely, like, given them a boost at running back. But this is another coin flipper. I do think the Chargers win. I think they're 4-2 after this week.
I'm going to take the coward's way out again and say Cardinals for the money line.
All right. That's it for our show this week. And join us Monday. We're going to be talking trade deadline, targets, teams, matches. Right, Ricky?
Oh, it's going to get hot. There's some rumors going on talking about Garrett Wilson. Mike Williams might be on the move, but it should get interesting.
Yep. Definitely. All right. Thank you guys for listening. And don't forget to like, favorite, comment. Definitely helps us out. Helps with the algorithm. Helps promote and share us around. Follow us. And we'll see you guys soon.
Let's go.
Bye-bye.